Now, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about discipleship, and this morning is no different in that regard. And I want to continue that on here today and pick up on some other things that Jesus says about being a disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple? And then even further, hopefully a few weeks from now, even more so, maybe look at, okay, as a church then, how do we go about doing that? Because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, that it is the mandate, it is commanded to you and to me as believers, as disciples ourselves, to make disciples. Okay? But what does that disciple look like? See, before we can ever make disciples, as the Word of God tells us, then it's up to us to really have that desire to be a disciple to start with. And quite honestly, here in the last few weeks, as I've been studying this and delivering these messages to you, being a disciple is a little bit different, according to the Word of God, than what I had for years thought it was. For quite some time, I felt like that being a disciple was, you know, you showed up for discipleship training, and you know, you may have went to a few classes here and there of how to do certain aspects in Christian life, whether it be how to manage money or how to have a good devotional life or things like, and that's part of it. It is, but really, at the core of it, Jesus tells us it's a whole lot more. And quite honestly today, to be a true, authentic disciple of Jesus Christ is probably, well, it is, the hardest thing you're ever going to do in your life. Because, see, for whatever reason, over the years, we have come to the point in thinking that being a disciple of Jesus Christ is praying a prayer and becoming part of a church fellowship, of a faith family, if you will, and maybe filling out a card, and that's it. Well, that's part of it. But in all reality, that's really just the beginning of being a disciple. A disciple is a lifelong pursuit. It is an everyday adventure. It is an everyday task, if you will. Now, the question is this morning, are you and I, are we up for that challenge today? Now, only you can answer that question. I can't. I've answered it in my life, and I have taken the challenge. You say, wait a minute, now you're a preacher. You're supposed to be a disciple. You're supposed to be. Well, just follow me and listen to what the Word of God says about being a true, authentic disciple, and then ask yourself, or either lay that over your life and say, okay, is my life lining up to this? And in my life, I can't speak for your life or your life, but in my life, there were some areas that it wasn't. And I don't like that. I want to be who I ought to be for God and His kingdom today. I want to be the best I can be for Jesus Christ today. I want to be that. So let's follow Him. Before we do, though, I want to ask you to let's pray. Father, I pray now, God, that as we look at Your Word, and Lord, as we see what Your Word says about being a disciple, that, Lord Jesus, You would just make it ever so real to us as we're reading Your Word. And Father, as I'm speaking here today, that God, people not hear, I pray that I do want them to hear me, God, but I pray they would hear Your voice, which is much louder than mine, and God has a deeper meaning. And Lord, I just pray these people would see that, and God, that Your hand, Your Spirit, change us, begin to change us right here in this service this morning, God. That is my prayer. I pray we experience that here today. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen. How many of you sitting in this room right here this morning are would consider yourself or would like you like to fish? Okay, good. How many of you like to catch brim? See, because there's different kinds of fishing. How many like brim? All right. How many of you like to catch sharks? Two or three, okay. We'll pray for y'all. How many of you like to catch, depending on what part of the country you're from, crappie or crappie? Oh, yeah, I know one of my brothers out here. I know he loves it. All right. How many of you consider yourself a bass fisherman? There's a few. I consider myself a bass fisherman. Now, for us bass fishermen, we have special equipment. A bass fisherman will believe that there, if there's a fish that does not bite on this side of the table, then it is highly possible that he is over there. If not there, he may be behind it and in front of it, and we must cast in all of those positions. Now, if he does not bite with that lure that we have on our line then we will change it out and throw in the same positions again. Because, see, we believe that color makes a difference, sound makes a difference, size makes a difference, whether it is a deep diver, shallow diver, medium diver, whether it is plastic, the list goes on and on. You don't believe me? Go into Walmart and just stand there and look in awe at all of this stuff they have. Spinner baits, buzz baits, crank baits, top water, medium diver, the list goes on and on. Well, my favorite lure to fish with, you say, what has this got to do with the discipleship? Just follow me. Hold on a minute. My favorite lure is topwater fishing. I love it. There's nothing like seeing one of those fish just literally jump out of the water and catch whatever you've thrown out there and then just splash and the fight's on. My favorite lure is what is known as, Hayden makes these. It's called a tiny torpedo. Okay? It's a little lure. I got one right here in my hand. And for years, this company's made these things for years, but there is one of these lures that has become almost impossible to get your hands on. Right? If you collect these things, all right? I finally found one of them. And I had it shipped here. I'm not kidding you. I had it shipped here. I won it on eBay. And I had it shipped here all the way from Alaska. That's where I won. This guy had this thing. These things, you can't even find them in the store anymore. They don't even make them anymore. And you'll think, my gracious, how do you catch something with that? Red and white. If you've got one of them, I would like to talk with you after the service. It took me quite a while to get a hold of this one. All right? And you know what? That was such a prized item to me. I mean, it was. I tried my best. I can't even remember how much the bid was that I won this thing with. If you know anything about eBay, it's an auction house. That's what it is. All right. I can't remember, but man, I wanted this thing so bad because they don't make them no more. It is so unique. And man, I just knew this thing. This is it. This is what would catch fish. But you know what? The guy that sent it to me sent it in this medicine bottle right here. Had it all taped up, all boxed up, very nice and everything. And you know what? This has been several months ago, almost a year ago now. And you know what? When I got that thing in the mail that day, I was so excited. I went running in the room to where my wife was at and I said, Lynn, look at this. You ain't gonna, I finally got my hands on one of these tiny torpedoes. Look at this thing right here. It is beautiful. I love it. And she's like, yeah, whatever. And she's not a bass fisherman. And just love it. Oh, I'm so thankful to have this. And my gracious, thank you, Lord, for letting me have that. Oh, I was so excited for that. You know what, God? You'll see why I did that in just a minute, too. Hold on. I'm so excited to have it. Thank you, brother. I'm so excited to have this thing. I'm so excited to get this. I'm not even going to fish with it. And then this sermon come across my mind. This will be a great illustration to use. It took me almost 2 days to find it. What has that got to do with being a disciple? You remember the day you got saved? Do you remember how excited you were on that day that, my gracious, your life was changed forever? Oh, my gracious, I'm so excited. I'm so happy to be a believer. I am so excited. Do you remember that time? I remember that day. I remember the day it happened. I couldn't wait to tell everybody I knew that I was a believer. I'm a Christian now. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Do you remember that? If you remember that excitement, say amen. Amen. Now, can I ask you this? You don't have to answer this out loud. It may not be true for all in this room this morning. What happened to that excitement? Do you remember reading the Word of God at times till you would just literally fall asleep at night? You was reading till the wee hours of the morning. Do you remember whenever you couldn't wait to do something for the kingdom of God? Do you remember being so excited that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? You couldn't wait to get to the house of God to study His Word or have someone teach the Word of God to you. You couldn't wait till you got into the worship service where you could sing praises to God, to where you could be so free in your worship. As Brother Ray was saying here this morning leading us, you were excited to raise your hands to the one who had changed your life forever. You couldn't wait to hear a preacher get up and open God's Word and begin to explain and to teach and to preach to you what that Word meant. What happened? Now, for some of us, that excitement may still be there, and we're still as gung-ho as we were the day we got saved. Well, praise the Lord. But you know what? For a lot of people who sit in church houses just like this one this morning, they're more concerned about things that are going on inside the church. Oh, so-and-so said something or done something that's made them mad, and doggone it, and they're going to hold it over them till Jesus comes back. Well, you know, I didn't vote for that color of carpet that's on the floor in the church anyway, so I don't like that, or the color of paint on the wall, or the tile in the ceiling, or the whatever. And we're so consumed with that till we forget that we're truly a disciple of Jesus Christ first and foremost. You know what? Jesus has a little something to say about stuff like that. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. And we're talking about authentic discipleship if you're writing these down. This is a sermon series starting right now, authentic discipleship in the first message, which is now, what does it mean to be a disciple? I just broke the cardinal rule of homiletics. You never, ever give a sermon title in the form of a question. Ever. But I'm a rebel. What does it mean? Authentic discipleship, what does it mean to be a disciple? Well, listen to what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. If you're there, say amen. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Let me read it one more time. Not everybody that says, "I love Jesus," will enter heaven. Let's bring it down just a little bit further. Based on that scripture, don't run home at lunch today and say the preacher boy said. Based on that scripture then, there is somebody sitting in this room right here today who will never see the kingdom of heaven. I don't know who that is. I don't know who you are. I pray it wasn't so. But according to what Jesus says, it is possible. And I'd be willing to say that every one of us, I would step out on a limb here today and say every one of us wants to go to heaven today. Every one of us. Now the question is today, do you and I have what it takes to be that authentic disciple today? Do we have what it takes? Well, the Bible tells us and teaches us, Jesus himself teaches us some things. Notice what he says back in Matthew chapter 4. We looked at this here a couple of days ago. Matthew chapter 4, if you're writing these down with me. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Now Jesus himself said back in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, he said that not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay? They are some who are portraying or putting on to be a disciple, but when in reality they're not. Okay, well, what does it take then to be that authentic disciple? Well, here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, Jesus gives us this, or issues this invitation to his disciples at the time and to us today. Notice verse 18, we'll pick up there. "And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Do you know what the hardest part of that phrase is? A lot of people says that the hardest part of that phrase is being a fisherman of men. In other words, going out and sharing the gospel with others. And that is hard. I'll be the first one to tell you. It's hard. Okay? But in reality, the first phrase is the hardest. Following Jesus is the hardest. Because see, for whatever reason, we have gotten the American dream of prosperity and everything's okay and hunky-dory twisted with being a disciple of Jesus Christ, where we think that just being a believer or being a disciple, if we're a disciple of Jesus Christ, then everything's going to be all right. In fact, in Scripture, we find just the opposite of that. In Scripture, we find that being a disciple is one of the hardest things on God's earth to do. It is one of the hardest things to do. It is more than just being someone who comes to church services. It is more than someone who just shows up at a training class. It is more than all of that. The word in the Greek, or the phrase "follow me" in the Greek, literally holds this. It means more than just walking after something or someone. For you see, a lot of people think that following Jesus, all it takes is reading this book. That's all it takes. All it takes is just reading this book and I'm following Jesus. Well, that's part of it, yes. But what it really takes to truly follow Jesus is, yes, reading this book and now living it out. It means reading this book, walking out those doors, and living what this word says. Is that going to be easy? No. Is it going to be tough? Yes, very much so. But what that phrase literally means in the original Greek, it means to give up all that you are and have to follow Jesus. To give up all that you are and have to follow Jesus. Now, listen, stop right here. Don't tune me out. Don't turn me off just yet. Now, does that mean that I should take this jacket I'm about to turn over these suspenders. Take this jacket and just say, okay, no more. Does that mean that I take off the shoes, the clothes that I have, throw it out and say, no more? Does that mean that I go to the house today, drive a for sale sign in the yard, put one in my truck, in my wife, in my daughter's vehicle, put for sale signs in that, and say, hey, it's all for sale, y'all come get it. You know what God showed me this week? That's not what I'm supposed to do. You know why? That would be easy to do. Anybody can do that. They sell for sale signs down at Walmart every day. You can put a for sale sign on everything you got. You know what's tougher than that? Here you go. What's tougher than that is turning it all over to God in your heart and your mind. That's tough. It's tough to turn it all over to God in your heart and your mind. See, that's what following Jesus, that means this. And for these men, it meant just that. It meant in this case, for their ministries, it meant for them to lay down everything they had. And by the way, these men were not poverty-stricken people. They were in one of the most prosperous industries of that day. They were fishermen. It's obvious they were making a pretty good living. They had their own equipment. They had their own boats. They had help. They had a business that was obviously prosperous. And Jesus said, follow me. Now for them, yes, that meant leaving everything right then and walking off. And for somebody else in this room, it may mean the same thing. Because for somebody in this room right here today, whether it be in the choir or all the way up to the sound room, it may mean this. It may mean that God call you to be a missionary to a foreign land, which would entail you turning it all over to Him. But there again, selling your house, car, and clothes is the easy thing to do. What's hard is turning it all over in your heart and your mind, because listen to this. This is an easy statement, but it's a hard one to live out. Everything you and I have is God's anyway. Now that's easy to say, but what's hard is living out life like everything we have is His. Does that make sense this morning? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still, as the old saying goes here in the South, wrestling with that. Is it wrestling or wrestling? Wrestling. My son like started a fight in the barbershop the other day when he said that wrestling ain't real. Son, we're going to have to fight our way out of this barbershop. All right. See, the easy thing for us to do would be put a for sale sign in the yard and on the car and sell all of our clothes and all that type of stuff. That's easy. But whenever you say in your heart and in your mind, and listen, when you really not just say it, but buy into that, to follow Jesus, that's hard. That means, listen, and listen, me and my family at the house right now, we're dealing with this. We're dealing with it. It's hard. That box in the den, we're wrestling with that thing. Cut it off. And I'm guilty of that. Cut it off. Cut that off and pick this up. You know what? Last night, listen to me. I'm not bragging. I'm not. Please don't hear me bragging. We went to the mall yesterday. Brother, you talking about crowds? I forgot it's no tax weekend. But you know what one of the family discussions was? Oh, man. And I'm here to tell you, listen to me. As a dad, as a husband, we discussed the Old Testament. Amen. Man, I didn't do it in the car because I would have wrecked the car. And by the way, they took the keys away from me coming home, so they wouldn't let me drive back home. Oh, I'm not joking. That's for real. They took it away from me. In my heart and in my mind, I praised God that my family is talking about the Old Testament. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know why? Because, see, that takes turning it all over to Him. Everything. It's easy to sell all this stuff. That's the easy thing. It's hard turning over heart, mind, body, soul. It's hard to do that. But with His help, it can be done. It can be done, okay? We're talking about authentic discipleship. What does it mean to be that disciple, okay? I know time has got us, but turn with me, if you will, for just a moment to Matthew. You're going to want to write this down for further reading, because we're going to look at this here for the next couple of services. Not tonight. Now, I want you to come back tonight. Everybody that's in here, I want you to be back here tonight, if at all possible, because tonight we're going to share. We're going to have a share time, okay, that we had on our trip to North Carolina. And I really want you to be here, okay? Really want you to be here for that. It's going to be a great time, okay? But turn over to Matthew chapter 10 for just a moment. And this is what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to read this passage of Scripture, okay? Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 38. All right? 1 through 38. And if you take those 38 verses, or excuse me, the first 23 really, They are five divisions within that passage. And I really want you to look at that, okay? For the next couple of services. Now, of course, I won't talk about it tonight. Probably be next week before we pick this back up. All right? But I want to read this to you, and then we're going to close this morning, okay? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Talking about authentic discipleship, searching your heart. Am I the disciple I need to be this morning? Not according to what some preacher said or according to what some teacher said, but according to what God's Word says. The Bible reads, "And having summoned his 12 disciples," this is Jesus, "he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector or tax gatherer, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him," or Jesus. Verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, saying, 'Do not go,'" and now listen, now we're talking about authentic discipleship and what does it mean to be a disciple. "Do not go out in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. And into whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and abide there until you go away. And as you enter the house, give it your greeting. And if the house is worthy, let your greeting of peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your greeting of peace return to you. And whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the courts and scourge you in the synagogues, and you shall even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not become anxious about how or what you will speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what you are to speak. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death." Can you imagine this? The Bible says clearly that for you and I, there will be those who will, listen, families turn against one another because one of the members of that family is a disciple. in fact, going to the point to put them to death. And you will be hated by all on account of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you shall not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Father God, I pray now in the very seriousness of this moment that God, for one, whoever that person may be, that God, they realize today the seriousness of the commitment today. God, may we not take for granted. Lord, I know I have in my life. Lord, I've come to the point in my life to where thinking that being a believer and a disciple, Lord, really that God, you owe me something. Lord, you don't owe me anything. But Father, today I owe it all to you. Friend, this is the invitation. It's very, very short invitation here this morning, far as my words are concerned. This is the invitation to come to Jesus right now and turn it all over to Him right now. To follow Him. That's everything you are, have, and anticipate to be. It's not about going to the house and putting for sale sign in the yard or on the cars or everything you have. It's about making sure that we understand in our hearts and our minds that everything we have is God's anyway. Therefore, we're able just to turn it back to Him. He's the one that's given it to us all anyway. So I invite you right now, wherever you're at in this room, right now, today, God, today, I make that commitment to turning it all over to you, wherever you're at. I'd ask you to join me here at the altar if you feel led, so led. Maybe physically you can't get on your knees, physically you can't bow down, then you can come right here and sit on these chairs in the front. Maybe you need someone to pray with you. Brother Allen's here. He would count it an honor to pray with you and for you right now. In just a few moments, I'll be able to do the same. But wherever you're at right now, I invite you to come to Jesus. Now, Father, I pray that we see your hand move in this place today, not for the glory of this church, but God, for yours and yours alone. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Brother Ray, please.
Stand for him of invitation.